as our point of emphasis that Pastor has selected is in 1 John. And John, being a special disciple to Jesus, wrote in 1 John 4:19. Actually, I'm going to go back for a couple of verses back for some context. He's speaking to the Christian believers in the churches there in Asia about love. And starting in verse 15, in 1 John 4, verse 15, if you wanted to select in your Bibles and read along with me. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God and what he has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And in verse 19, we love because he first loved us. That's where everyone can, that's possible. Let's kneel together as we pray. Loving and gracious Father, we're glad that you're there in heaven with Jesus by your side, and that we can approach your throne. In fact, you ask us and are thrilled that we want to come and talk with you. And as we worship you this morning, we do just that now in humility and knowing that we don't deserve anything, but by your grace and your love, we're of infinite value to you, and that you want us to be a part of your family eternally. We're grateful this morning, Lord, that we can come as a church family, as brothers and sisters who are seeking a life with you that will be more fulfilling and blessed in so many ways by drawing close to you. We pray, Father, this morning for all those that cannot be here with us as we worship, whether for illness or for traveling or discouragement or whatever the reason may be. You know the needs that are there for healing, for comfort. We pray for those and ask that you'll be close by. Lord, we pray for this world also. We know that there's so much difficulty with all the calamities that have happened in Japan and around the world, for the warfare that's happening in the Middle East. And pray for those brothers and sisters who are seeking you but are not able to worship as freely. We thank you for the gifts that you've blessed on our church here in Camarillo, that you will continue to help each one of us to do our part to reflect your love to those in this community. We pray especially also for your forgiveness, Lord. We know we fall short and need to have your forgiveness that we seek also as we celebrate communion this morning. That as we wash one another's feet, we'll have a sense of the humility that Jesus gave as the example for us to serve our brothers and sisters, and knowing that his sacrifice on the cross and the blood shed does wash us clean. We're grateful for the opportunity to join together and praise your name. We pray for our church. We pray for our schools, for the teachers, and the administration that leads out to help our youngsters to learn more about you and have a life that will be fulfilled by knowing you and being able to have that their entire lives and through eternity. Thank you, Father, for all the blessings we enjoy. Help us to recognize our need of you each day and to seek you first when we wake in the morning. We're grateful for the opportunity to seek you now, and that knowing and trusting that you'll hear and answer our prayer. According to Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Isn't that good news that God loves you? That's the best news of all. His love never ends. His love is there even when we aren't lovable. I'm speaking for myself now. You're always lovable. Jesus gave us an incredible gift. I'm reminded of his love, how great it is. Times of sadness in our life. I just got word this morning that Dr. Al Perry, a physician in Glendale, he has a young lady sitting here in our congregation that's a relative of his, just passed away yesterday. He is a member of the Christian Addition, which is going to be here in our church in May. So I'm asking you to remember the Al Perry family in your prayers during this time of grief and loss. It leaves a big hole in our hearts when we lose a loved one so close to us. And about next Sabbath, do you have plans for next Sabbath? Some of you do because it's alumni at Newbury Park. But if you're not going to be there, let me tell you where you need to be, right here. I've got good news for you. Your pastor is not preaching next week, despite what your calendar says. But Elder John Bradshaw, the speaker director for It Is Written, will be here next week to share with you the vision of It Is Written and some of the plans that they have for the It Is Written ministry. It's exciting. I can't wait for you to meet him. He's really a vivacious guy. And his family is awesome. Some of you have already met Michelle, his wife, and his two children. So come next week, invite a neighbor, and invite a friend, and let's pack the church to hear what Elder John Bradshaw has to share with us this next week. You know, in preparation for today's sermon, it's been a journey. As you know, I was away last week. I don't think you missed me, and that's okay. I missed you. I had the privilege of spending the week with two of my grandchildren. My oldest grandson, Tristan, who's 15, soon to turn 16, can't wait to get his license. He's probably as anxious as I was when I was back that age. Although I was cheating a little bit because I lived in the country and I could drive a lot. Not on the highway, but I had a lot of field experience, if you know what I mean. Driving farm equipment and trucks and stuff off the road. Occasionally, I would get to go a mile or two on the highway, move one piece of equipment from here to there. But he is getting his license soon, and he's excited about that. But that's not the exciting news I wanted you to hear about. As we were sitting there on Sabbath, Tristan turned to me and he said, "Papa, I've made a decision. I've made a decision to be baptized." Now, the reason this is significant is because his mother and father have gone through a divorce, and he really hasn't attended church regularly in several years. And I've been praying for Tristan because I knew that in his heart, he has a heart of gold. And I could see Jesus working in his life. And so when he shared that with me last Sabbath, that was my Sabbath gift from Jesus. He's studying with a pastor that I know well, Pastor Clark in Tennessee, and I can't wait to celebrate on that birthday of his, the new birth experience of being baptized and becoming a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. There's nothing better that thrills our souls, is there, than to see our children, and especially our grandchildren, too, embrace Jesus Christ. We need to be praying for one another, because the devil's hitting our families hard. Have you experienced any of that, or am I the only one? I don't think I'm the only one. The devil is just out there with a vengeance, trying to discourage us and trying to detract us and trying to pull us away from what we know to be right and what we know to be true. He throws all kinds of things in our pathway. But remember your scripture for today. What is it? We love him because he first loved us. He loved you before you were born. Think about that. And powerful verse. When you understand, when you just let that verse kind of sink in for a moment in your life, you realize how really significant and important our relationship is with Jesus. Regardless of what we do in our lives, He's there to rescue you. And as you grow in your relationship with Him, you no longer want to go down that path that would break that relationship with Him, and you want to stay in a relationship that is so powerful, so full of grace and power, that you want to go out and share Him. Jesus is awesome. Are you praying with me for the opportunity to share the love of Jesus? I was sitting at McDonald's with two Methodists and a Catholic, very dear friends of mine. And Charles, the Catholic gentleman, turned to me and he said, "Dennis, who are the Seventh-day Adventists?" And before I could answer, my Methodist friends answered the question for him. And I smiled. That tells me something. It tells me that they're paying attention. And we had a deeper discussion, and these discussions get deep sometimes about who we are as a people. And that opens the door for more discussions. So you all can do it. It's a lot of fun. It really is. So many of you have experienced this. I can't wait for you to share your stories about how Jesus is using you to reach other people for Jesus. On another occasion, one of the Methodist men was sitting there and was talking to another gentleman. I'm not sure if he really is a regular church attendee anywhere. And his name is E.V., and he's actually been here. He was at the New England Youth Ensemble when they were here. And there was another function that we had that he was here. But LB said to him, "Well, Ev, why don't you go on Saturday morning and check him out?" And Ev turned to him and said, "Well, what about you?" So there you have it. They're inviting each other to come to our church. Isn't that cool? I like that. It's exciting. So I keep praying that the door will. And if any of them are here today, I'm not going to point them out to you. So you have to discover them on your own. God is good, though, isn't He? Jesus, in talking with his disciples and a group of very famous religious leaders, he had just finished talking to the Sadducees in Matthew 22 when the Pharisees arrived in around verse 35. And a lawyer came up to him and asked him a very important question. "Teacher," verse 36, "which is the great commandment in the law?" Now, the Bible actually says in verse 35 that the lawyer said this in order to test Jesus, or he was trying to trick him or trip him up. But notice Jesus' answer. Jesus answered using Moses' words from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I'll get to that in a moment. But here's how Jesus answered. Verse 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with some of your heart." With all. That's right. Just want to make sure you're following. How much of your heart? All of your heart. How much of your soul? And how much of your mind? Now, what's left? If you've put all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind into your relationship with Jesus, that means you're putting all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind into your relationship with each other. Yes or no? And Jesus went on in verse 38, "This is the first and great commandment." Now, I've heard some of my colleagues in ministry say, you know, the Ten Commandments have been done away with. And here's an example of this, because Jesus gives us two great examples. This being the first one: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The first four commandments. Remember who Jesus was talking to. He was talking to the Pharisees, who knew the Bible backwards and forward, at least the Old Testament Bible, right? They knew the law inside and out. They knew it perfectly well. And so when Jesus was using this one sentence, basically, to give his descriptor of the law, he was using what Moses had used back in Deuteronomy 6. Let's take a look at that. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, we'll begin there. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse, the next verse. You shall love the Lord your God with what? How much of your heart? All your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And then he added, go back just for a second. I'm sorry. You're doing great. Can you go back? And with all your strength. All right. Moses was talking to the children of Israel. Jesus is now talking to the Pharisees. They understood this principle clearly. Moses had just given the children of Israel the tablets of stone. You read about it in Exodus 20, and you read about it again in Deuteronomy chapter 5, the full and complete set. Moses here is just giving a synopsis of the first four commandments of God. You know, I have a Bible at home that it's the open Bible. And in that particular Bible, in Exodus 20, beginning for verses 1 through 4, it has the heading, Our Relationship to God. And for the next 6 through 10, it has Our Relationship to Man. It has it right. That's exactly what Jesus was doing. He was talking to very intelligent men who knew exactly what he was referring to. He wasn't doing away or changing any law. He was just giving them the summary. I'm talking to people who know the law. Yes or no? We do, don't we? Are we keeping it? Exciting thing. Yes. We're remembering the Sabbath to keep it holy today. That's awesome. Well, Jesus goes on in verse 39 of back to Matthew. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so the last six commandments have to do with our relationship to each other. And then he says in verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So to love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind is Jesus' command to you and to me. It's an invitation to make him first in our lives always. Jesus demonstrated this commandment and this verse in 1 John 4:19 in its completeness when he went to the cross for you and for me. He also demonstrated it in his completeness when he and the Father sat down and came up with a marvelous plan of redemption for us. The plan to rescue fallen man. The plan to put us on the right course so that we would be ready to spend eternity with him when he comes in the clouds of heaven. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for him to come. We look around the world today and we see the signs everywhere. If you picked up the newspaper this last week, you would have found something that kind of startled me a little bit. I read this little article that said, when they totaled up all of the cost of the disasters that occurred in 2010, it was 200 and some odd billion dollars when you put them all together. This was around the globe, which was more than double the cost of all the calamities in 2009. What does 2011 have in store? The economy is fragile. The world is telling us something is soon to happen, big. We know what it is, don't we? Are we ready? You know, it's one thing to sit here and just see the pictures of the horrific death and loss and destruction of our families and friends in Japan, or the horrendous floods in Australia, or the earthquakes in New Zealand, or the flooding and the storms that have ravaged even the United States this year. You know, they're complaining in New England that they had snow yesterday. It wasn't April Fool's, it was snow, and they don't have the money to clean it up. They're out of money. They're out of resources. What does Jesus have in store for us before he comes? Well, let me tell you how to be ready for that. Are you with me? It's called worshiping God. Giving your mind, heart, and soul to him 24/7. You see, true worship involves giving our all to Jesus. That's how you have the power to love, as he gives his power to you and I to love each other. True worship calls for us to follow Jesus in every aspect of our lives, every aspect of our lives, to give our all to him. I loved it when Kelly was talking about tithes and offerings. What if we were all giving financially our complete 100% tithe to Jesus as a church family, there would be no end of the money to finish the work. You know, what makes me sad is that the spirit of prophecy talks about, and the Bible too, that before Jesus comes, men will come with their money and they won't be able to give anymore. It'll be worthless. You can't do anything with it because they've waited too long. My friends, we need to put our treasure in heaven. Our relationship with Jesus must be strong, vibrant, and growing. And I leave you with these thoughts this morning. When we fully embrace Jesus, his love will remove the stain of sin and guilt from our lives and replace it with his robe of righteousness. Then is fulfilled the consummation of his love talked about in 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. This is what provides you with the power to love. So take time now to tell Jesus about how much you love him and appreciate him and thank him for his incredible gift of love to you. As we celebrate the communion service today, we in the Seventh-day Adventist Church hold to an open communion. If you've never attended a foot washing before, we invite you to join us today. We will be separating here in just a few minutes. The men will go to the junior room, the ladies to the cradle roll room, and if you need some help in finding those rooms, one of the attendants will help you, direct you that way. Families will gather in the fellowship hall. At the end of the foot washing service, we'll return into the sanctuary to celebrate the Lord's Supper. When you come back in, we invite you to sit in the pews without the red ribbon. The red ribbon pews are for the deacons to serve you. So you're also welcome if you want to stay in the sanctuary to remain here, and we'll rejoin you in just a few minutes. May God bless us as we celebrate the ordinance of humility and return to the Lord's Supper is my prayer for you and for me. We go with a clean heart. Amen? Thank you. And may Jesus' light shine in you and through you is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.